Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. On today's episode, I'm going to explore the concept of a cover song and play some of my favorite originals and their cover versions and just some of my favorite cover songs in general. So what is a cover? Well, a cover is when a band or an artist performs a song that was previously written and performed by a different band or artist. But, you know, this happens for a variety of reasons. Sometimes the band or artist covering the song is just trying to emulate or pay tribute to the originator of the song, and maybe expose that material to a new or a wider audience. But to me, the best kind of covers are the ones where an artist makes an unexpected or maybe unpredictable choice, and takes a song and reinterprets it and reimagines it and turns it into a completely different, maybe even a better song. A perfect example of this would be the song Little Susie by Tesla. The song originates with a song called Little Susie's on the Up, by a band called PhD, a British new wave synth-pop band. The song was on their 1981 debut album on Atlantic Records, and the video for PhD's Little Susie's on the Up was actually the fifth video ever played on MTV on the day MTV launched on August 1st, 1981. A few years later, a Sacramento, California band called City Kid was being mentored by famous guitar player Ronnie Montrose. And Ronnie Montrose had this idea for City Kid to cover this new wave synth-pop song by PhD called Little Susie's on the Up. And it was a brilliant idea because City Kid, who became Tesla, took that song and turned a new wave, kind of a tepid synth-pop song, into a great hard rock song. And it's the same melody and same basic structure, but to me it's a far better song. So let's hear the original. And then Tesla's amazing cover of Little Susie's on the Up.
Thank you.
Now, you know, that's not a cover where Tesla were trying to emulate or pay tribute to PhD. It seems to me that Ronnie Montrose heard the potential in the melody of the PhD song, and then that melody really comes alive in the Tesla version. Now I'm going to play for you the original versions of a couple of songs that were never actually released by the songwriter and became big hit songs for the performers that actually did record and release the songs. Both of the songs were written by male artists, and they were hits for female artists. Now, this is where the idea of what is a cover becomes confusing, because neither of these songs were ever released by the songwriters. They were recorded. The first song, a song by D.L. Byron, he demoed for his second album. He had an album in 1980 on Arista Records, and then he was preparing to record a second album for the label that never happened. And he demoed this song, but he never released it. And the second song by Robert Hazard, he obviously recorded a demo of the song, but Robert Hazard put out an EP and an LP in the 80s, and he didn't choose to put the song on the record. So these two songs did become hits for other artists. Were the songs covered by those artists? Because just because an artist records or performs a song written by someone else, that doesn't necessarily make it a cover, in my opinion. You know, there are a lot of songwriters who write songs where they never even intend to release them. They write them hoping that someone else will record and release it. So let's just hear both songs, and you will recognize each of them.
Thank you.
So the question is, did Pat Benatar and Cyndi Lauper cover those songs? Were the Pat Benatar and Cyndi Lauper versions of those songs covers? And, you know, I guess that's debatable. Like I said, neither D.L. Byron nor Robert Hazard ever released those songs. And those songs were never known to the record buying public, you know, as D.L. Byron or Robert Hazard songs. They were only ever Pat Benatar and Cyndi Lauper songs. And, you know, in Pat Benatar's case, somehow D.L. Byron's demo came to her and she chose it to make a Pat Benatar song. She wasn't really covering a D.L. Byron song. She was looking for songs to put on her album. And Cyndi Lauper, I'm not sure how she came to cover Robert Hazard's song. You know, Robert Hazard was in the Philadelphia music scene at the same time Cyndi Lauper's band Blue Angel was going in New York, and perhaps they performed shows together. Perhaps Cyndi Lauper was a fan of Robert Hazard. Maybe she really liked that song. She saw the potential in it. She wanted to do it. Maybe it sort of is a cover. You know, there's some gray area there. What is a cover, and what is just an artist choosing a song to make their song? Or, you know, maybe the record label brought that song to Pat Benatar. I don't know how it happened. But to me, Pat Benatar, Shadows of the Night, isn't a cover in the truest sense of the word. Another original that truly was covered is a song called Police on My Back by The Equals, featuring Eddie Grant. And the song was covered by The Clash on their triple album, Sandinista. And The Clash were huge fans of The Equals, and this is an example of a band taking an obscure song and sharing it with their audience and exposing a new or wider audience to material that they will like, but that they are unfamiliar with.
Real, I'm running, police on my back. I've been hiding. Police on my back, they were shooting. Police on my back, and the victim really won't come back. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back, they would catch me if I dare drop back. Come and give me all the speed I had. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What have I done? I'm still running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back, they will catch me if I dare drop back. Come and give me all the speed I had. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running down the railway track. Yes, I'm running, police on my back. Yes, I'm running, police on my back. Yes, I'm running, police on my back. I'm still running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back, they will catch me if I dare drop back. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running, police on my back. Yes, I'm a running, police on my back. Yes, I'm a running,
bullies on my back. Yes, I'm a running, bullies on my back. What have I done? Tell me, please, somebody.
Now I'm going to play you an example of a completely different way that a cover can come about. Australian band called Skyhooks, on their fourth album, their 1978 album, Guilty Until Proven Insane, they included a really cool song called Women in Uniform. And British metal band Iron Maiden, their publishing company, Zomba, in 1980, suggested that they cover the song and release it as their third single. And this was about having a hit. Zomba wanted Iron Maiden to have a hit single. And for some reason, Iron Maiden agreed to cover the song. And they rewrote it. They took out some parts. They kind of simplified the song, really. And apparently, Tony Platt, the producer, took it in a different direction. And Steve Harris was very unhappy with the version of the song. And it's hard to imagine why Iron Maiden and Steve Harris ever even recorded the song, why Steve Harris would record a song written by somebody else and how it all came about. But, you know, they were still a fledgling band and they were cajoled into doing it by their publishing company, perhaps the record company. So this is a cover that the band didn't even really want to do and doesn't like. But in actuality, I really like the original version, the Skyhooks version. I like that a lot. And I really don't care for the Iron Maiden version at all. But here's both versions. Check it out.
Right shoulder, pull.
One, two, three, pull.
Left shoulder, pull.
One, two, three, pull.
Hello there, sailor.
Ah!
Now, since we're on the topic of Iron Maiden, the way I like to describe this next cover is I say, imagine a band taking a bad ABBA song and turning it into a great Iron Maiden song. Well, that's what Leatherface did. Leatherface were a British punk band fronted by Frankie Stubbs. They put out some great records in the 90s. Mush is a classic. And on the B-side of one of their singles, they covered the song Eagle by ABBA, which is the first song on the ABBA album called The Album. Now, I'm a big fan of ABBA. A lot of ABBA songs are great. And Benny and Bjorn, in my opinion, supremely gifted, amazing songwriters, amazing arrangements, the way they constructed a lot of those songs, just brilliant. But they were also capable of complete drivel. And I don't like the ABBA song Eagle at all, really. But I love the Leatherface version of the song. So I'm going to play you both so you can get an idea of what I'm talking about.
Come on.
No, I said they turned it into an Iron Maiden song, but you're probably thinking sounds more like a Motorhead song, and you're probably right. Two of my favorite covers came out on indie 7-inches in the 90s. The first is by a Michigan band called Mule. Came out on Quarterstick Records in 1991, I think. It's the B-side of their song, I'm Hell. They covered the Bee Gees song, To Love Somebody, but they turned it into a Mule song. And this is just the kind of cover I love. Unexpected, yet perfect. The Afghan Whigs were pretty well known for doing unexpected covers or interesting covers, and my favorite is from a 1990 single on Sub Pop. They covered the Supremes. Another of my favorite covers ever is by Nirvana. I really love their version of Devo's Turnaround, but my favorite by them, and one of my favorite covers ever, is their cover of a song by the Vaseline's called Son of a Gun. And, you know, the Nirvana version is completely different from the Vaseline's version, but I like both versions, but what Nirvana did with the song is so brilliant. I'm going to let you hear both, though. And that's a perfect example of a cover where the artist Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, loved the original song, loved the melody, was a big fan of the band that he was covering, covered the song because he liked it so much, but also turned it into a Nirvana song. It doesn't sound like a Vaseline song anymore. So it's the best of both worlds. He's a big fan of the song, but... you know, to me, a cover that just tries to sound exactly like the original is kind of pointless. A perfect example is Tesla. They, at the beginning of the show, I played their cover of Little Susie, which is absolutely brilliant, as good as a cover can be, as well done as a cover song can be. And yet, a few years ago when Tesla put out an album of all covers, it was a completely pointless endeavor to me because they tried to just recreate the songs to sound as much like the original version as they possibly could. And also they picked songs that were mostly would have been pretty familiar to their audience. So to me, recreating a song to sound just like the original, which your audience will be familiar with, that's completely pointless to me. A cover can either be about sharing an unknown song with the audience, and then maybe if you try to sound a lot like the original, at least your audience isn't familiar with the original. Or a cover is about taking a song and turning it into something else, reinventing it, reimagining it, reinterpreting it. Here's a perfect example. Bruce Springsteen's cover of a Jimmy Cliff song called Trapped. Jimmy Cliff, if you don't know, brilliant, brilliant singer-songwriter, one of my favorites. And Trapped was the B-side to probably his best-known song, The Harder They Come. It was the B-side of the 1972 single. So let's hear the Jimmy Cliff version and then the Bruce Springsteen version, live version, which was on the We Are the World LP.
Seems like I'll be wearing the same old pain. But good must conquer evil, and truth will set me free. So you see that somewhere I have found the key. Yes, you see that somewhere I have found the key. But it seems like I've been sleeping in your bed too long. Seems like you've been planning to do me wrong. But evil concentrated must be disintegrated. So I know that I ought to be walking out again. Yes, I know that I'll be walking out again. It seems the game I've played has made you strong. But when this game is over, I won't end up a loser. And I know that I ought to be walking out again. Yes, I know that I'll be walking out again.
Yeah. seems like I've been sleeping in your bed too long. And it seems like you've been meaning to do me harm. But I'll teach my eyes to see beyond these walls in front of me. And someday I'll walk out of here again. Yeah, I know someday I'll walk out of here again. What now?
That's really as good as it gets right there. Wonderful original song, completely reinterpreted and reimagined, and just as good but completely different. Here's another example, and it's live again, and it's a Bruce Springsteen song. This is another brilliant, brilliant band, Big Country. It's ludicrous to call them a one-hit wonder. They were such a great band, and their first album, The Crossing, is one of my favorite albums ever. This is them covering the Bruce Springsteen song, I'm on Fire, and completely reinterpreting it and reimagining it, and it's just great.
Got a bad desire.
Was written by a Canadian singer-songwriter named Rolf Kempf and was originally released by Judy Collins on her 1968 album Who Knows Where the Time Goes. And then, according to Rolf Kempf, there's a version of the song on YouTube that he recorded, I think, in the 90s, but he commented under the video that Bob Ezrin and Alice Cooper reworked their version from an acoustic demo of his. You know, I suspect Bob Ezrin came across the song somehow and presented it to Alice Cooper, and then they sort of rewrote it, and it became the opening track on Billion Dollar Babies. Here's the Judy Collins version, and then the Alice Cooper version.
Hello, hooray, let the show begin. to fall, just to fall again. Ready as a man to be born, only to be born again and again and again and again and again. Hello.
Darkness are sort of a polarizing band, but I'm a huge fan of them and was very disappointed when they broke up after their awesome second album in 2005. But they got back together, and in 2012, they put out a great album called Hotcakes, which included an insane cover of a Radiohead song called Street Spirit from the second Radiohead album, The Bends. If you haven't heard it before, you have to hear it. I'm going to play some of the original... the Radiohead song, and then the Darkness cover from last year's album, Hotcakes.
Rows of houses are bearing down on me. Touching me, oh, this thing's into position. Oh, this thing's a one day swallow whole. Fear. again.
Since the Darkness are often a tongue-in-cheek sort of comedic band, at times at least, that's a good segue into these next two cover versions of the same song. The first is by a comedic parody of a metal band called Bad News, and the second is an odd character called Frank Sidebottom.
Good.
Yes, I thought it was very good.
Blow Queen off the fucking stage.
Yes, absolutely.
Is this the real life, or is this just Timperley caught in a landslide? No escape from reality. I open my eyes, look up to the skies and see. Oh, I'm just a poor boy. And I need no sympathy, because it's easy come, easy go. A little bit high and a little bit low, especially where the wind blows, doesn't really matter to me. To me.
just killed a house plant, you know. I forgot to water it every day. That weekend you went away. Because mama, my life had just begun. Shivers down me fabulous spine. Me an infection aches all the time. Oh, goodbye, everybody. I've got to go. I've got to go home on the bus and leave you all. Oh, mama. Do-do-do-do. Ain't our wind still blowing? Oh. A little silhouette of a puppet. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, how will you do the fandango? Thunderball and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo.
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 Deo.
Deo. D-day-o, D-day-o, D-day-o. Cause you know that nothing really matters. And anyone can see that nothing, nothing at all matters much to me. You know it doesn't, it really doesn't.
One more comedic cover by a thrash band called Eccentrics.
Bye.
So when I think about covers that I love, one of the first things that comes to mind is Metallica's 1987 EP Garage Days Re-Revisited. And I thought it would be cool to play all of the songs in order, in the same order that they are on the Metallica EP, except the original versions. So here they are: Diamond Head, Holocaust, Killing Joke, Budgie, and the Misfits.
Fade away. You gotta see the lights above.
So there you have it. I hope that was a fun episode to listen to. If you enjoyed it, go to the Facebook page and like the Facebook page. Go to iTunes and leave me a rating and a comment. Send me an email. Let me know who you are, how you found the show, any suggestions you have for future episodes or topics you'd like to hear me cover. You can find everything at the blog page, rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.com. I have a link there for the Facebook and the iTunes. So please, let me know that you're out there. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with a cover that I recorded myself. More than 10 years ago now, my friend Daryl was putting together a compilation as a tribute to Texas artists, where he was asking people to cover songs by artists from Texas. And I emailed him and I said, I'm sure somebody's doing a Daniel Johnston song, right? And he said, no, nobody is. So since Daniel Johnston is one of my favorite songwriters and he's from Texas, I felt like I had to cover a Daniel Johnston song for this compilation. So I chose a Daniel Johnston song called Scuttlebutt from his cassette called The What of Whom. That's my favorite Daniel Johnston album, one of my favorite Daniel Johnston songs. And the original song, the Daniel Johnston version, is actually on piano, but I figured out a way to do the song with acoustic guitars. So let's hear the Daniel Johnston song and then my own version of Daniel Johnston's Scuttlebutt. Until next time.
The scuttlebutt about the whatnot that she doesn't want for guy. Rumor is a wind that blows so smart it doesn't even know who you are. She's standing there waiting at the top of the stairs with her eyes fixed on you like glue. Where are you going now? Where have you been? What is your latest sin? She's into the big time. She reads the National Enquirer. She stretches the truth with such imagination. She's more of a writer than a liar. We'll be right back.
is ready for the worst of news, and she's hoping it may be you. She knows all the scuttlebutt about the whatnot that she doesn't want forgotten. Rumors of wind that blows so smart, it doesn't even know who you are. She's standing there waiting at the top of the stairs with her eyes fixed on you like glue. Where are you going now? Where have you been? What is your latest sin? National Enquirer. She stretches the truth with such imagination. She's more of a writer than a liar. Always ready for the worst of news, and she's hoping it may be you. She knows all the scuttlebutt about the whatnot that she doesn't want.